Well, aren't you glad there's a remedy? Amen. And it's not one among many. It's the one and the only. And His name is Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, you should be turning to Mark chapter 12. I told the early service, this is a Sunday night message. We're going through the book of Mark on Sunday nights. And so I'll probably do the Sunday morning message tonight. So I know all of you are going to be back to hear that. Amen. And we'll say a word about that in a moment. Mark 12, would you stand to your feet and honor and reverence the Word of God? A very familiar passage of Scripture. I may have preached on this one time in my ministry, I'm not sure, but not more than one time, but it's in our text, and I thought this would be a good time to share. Verse 41, Jesus set over against the treasury, and He beheld. Now I'll come back to that word in the next one. He beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And He called unto Him His disciples, and He said unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance. But she of her want or of her lack did cast in all that she had, even all her living. There's several titles I could give this sermon today. We could call it The Might of the Widow's Might. Or we could just call it I Surrender All. Because the Bible says she gave her all. And the essence of the message today is not so much, although it includes the giving of that God's blessed you with, but really the meat of the message and the purpose of the message is if you've never given your life to Christ, then today you need to give your heart and life to Jesus. And then those who have given their heart and life to Jesus is to give your all to the Lord Jesus. Our Father, we bow today, and I'm glad there's hope and there's a remedy in Jesus Christ. I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl under the sound of my voice that today they'll listen to the story of this widow woman. And Lord, it'll speak so much more to us than just what she gave. But Lord, it'll tell us that this lady, she loved Jesus. She gave herself. I believe that includes her time and her talent as well as her treasure. I pray, Lord, we'd be moved by the Spirit of God today to do likewise. And Lord, it's only as we do that, we sang about bringing forth the royal diadem. Lord, for you, you want that to be all of us there is. Mind, soul, body, strength, emotion, will, everything about us. That's what you want us to give to you. I pray it'll happen today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is probably one of the best known characters in the entire Bible. She's an unnamed widow. Nobody knows her name. Nobody knows who she was. But she cast in two mites into the treasury. Far as we know, and our text does not tell us, she never met the Lord Jesus. And as far as we know, He never met her. There's no recorded verses in our text or otherwise that Jesus ever said anything to her or she ever said anything to Jesus. She's one of those what we would call an unnamed hero of the faith. We don't know who she was, but I got news for you. God knows who she was. And when we get to heaven, I wouldn't be surprised if God did not introduce us to this unknown, unnamed widow. Remember that boy with the loaves and the fishes? Why, nobody knew his name. We don't know who he was, but the Bible said he gave it all to Jesus and he fed thousands upon thousands with what he gave to Jesus. Why, nobody knows who that little maid was that told Naaman, that mighty warrior one day, said, you want help with this leprosy? You want to find the remedy? Go see the man of God, Elisha. He'll tell you where the remedy is at. This woman represents a vast host of unnamed, unknown, unpraised people who keep our churches, this church and every other Bible-believing church, they keep those churches going. And she represents those because of their faithfulness and their untiring service and their sacrificial giving. They make it possible for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to do what she does and to continue doing that day by day. And part of this message is a thank you to a great number of you who fall into that category. You never stand on the platform. You never sing a solo. You never teach from a lectern. You in public are never put forth. But you're one of those unnamed heroes of the faith. You work in the nursery. You drive the shuttle bus. You stand at the door and greet. You put up tables when there is a need. You go out and work with the MIAs. You do what you do, but nobody ever knows much about that. Could I just tell you today, God knows everything you've ever done, and He's writing it down in a book, and one of these days, God's going to give rewards for everything that's done in His name. You're one of those faithful believers in our congregation. And it's because of faithful people and serving people and giving people that we've been able to do what we've been able to do in the days gone by and today and in the days to come. In fact, I shared with the early service, I've been thinking for a while about writing a letter to every member of our church and sharing my heart with you. Now we live in a day when there's different philosophy and even different theology. But I want to write you a letter, and I probably will still do it after the message, and express your pastor's heart's desire, the staff as well, but especially from your pastor. Man, I think it's time that we show God how much we really love Him. And I think one of the ways you do that is just being faithful. And we're a church that, hey, we encourage you and challenge you to come Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I know many churches are shutting the doors on Sunday nights. I'm telling you, we're not going down that road. We're going to stay open and we're going to have service on Sunday. It gets good around here on Sunday night. We have church on Wednesday night. We have special music. We have preaching every Wednesday night. You say, preacher, you don't know how busy our world is. Well, I grew up, I know you're tired of hearing this, but I'm preaching, so I'm going to tell you. I grew up, me and mom and dad and nine brothers and sisters, there's 12 of us in that two-bedroom house, and you think you got it bad. You think you got it busy. You don't know what busy is. But we got the church. Morning, night, amen, James? You did too. You didn't have a choice, man. On Wednesday night, revival time. Hey, America's suffering. It's a different message, but I won't throw it in. America's suffering. And we think it's all because of the wrong elected officials. I'll tell you what the problem in America is. We've drifted away from our allegiance and our affection to God. And when we get that right, things will change. Well, I'm going to write you that letter. I just want to challenge you as pastor. I believe more than ever we need to sell out lock, stock, and barrel. Now these scribes here we're reading about, we're all together different than this poor little widow woman. While they wore their long flowing robes, they were in their mind robes of honor. She's garbed in widow's clothing. They wanted to have the salutations and the greetings in the marketplace. And probably nobody, when she went to the marketplace, ever spoke to her. They probably bypassed her and maybe even ignored her. When the scribes went to the synagogue and some of these other places, they wanted the seats of honor and the chief places. She would probably go there and be neglected. Nobody paid her any attention. The scribes were interested in what they could get out of life. She was interested in what she could give in life. The Bible says they received the condemnation of God and she received the congratulations of the Lord. Now three little simple things I want you to see in this message. Number one, I want you to see the place where Jesus sat. Look at your Bible, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury. If you read the context, it was a tough day for the Lord Jesus. It was rather turbulent for the Lord Jesus. He'd been in a battle with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they'd been attacking him all day long, giving him a difficult time. Somebody said it was like the hounds of hell were yelping at his heels. And all through the day, they've been after Jesus. But now he's in the temple. Now he's in the temple. And by the way, for your theological instruction, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of everything the temple stands for. Every piece of furniture, everything that it's made out of, everything, Jesus Christ is the exact fulfillment of everything the temple talks about. Now here he is, and he goes in the temple. Now here's the sad part. They didn't even know that he was there. Sometimes I wonder about our services right here at Rock Springs, and I'm grateful to God for them, but I wonder about our services when people come in Sunday after Sunday, and I wonder if they really understand what's going on. I wonder if they really understand. I wonder if we really understand that when we come to church, that Jesus is going to be in the midst of His people, and we are standing in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Now, where in the world did you get that? I got it from the Bible. Where two or three are gathered together, there I am. I don't have to guess. I don't have to wonder. I need to claim it, and I need to come to church, listen, knowing I'm going to meet with Jesus. Now, listen, some of you are going to take this wrong, and you just have to pray about that then. I think we come to church too casual. And I'm not so much talking about dress. I'm talking about spiritually in our minds and our hearts. We've taken God for granted. We've taken the church for granted. We've taken the Word of God for granted. We just taken it for granted, man. We ought to come to church. It ought to be a special agenda. It ought to be a special thing on your calendar to get up and come to the house of God and to bring your family and teach them. When we get there, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice his position. We're told he's sitting against the treasury. That means that Jesus was in the place where people brought their free will offerings. It was known as the women's court. And along the inside walls in this court, there were 13 collection boxes. Now, they were called shofar boxes. 13 of them, and they're shaped like a trumpet. And I'll say this in a minute, but it's for your thought. Just as 1 Corinthians says the collection plate talks, those shofars, they talked. They're in the shape of a trumpet and they would drop their money in. It's Passover time. There are thousands there in the city of Jerusalem. They're everywhere, and undoubtedly they come and they give tremendous amounts of money as they make their voluntary offerings in the temple. Should it surprise us that Jesus is sitting there watching as they give? Notice his purpose. Would you be surprised today that Jesus is interested in this matter of giving, this matter of you and I coming back and honoring him and giving to him with part of that he's blessed us with? We don't give a whole lot of attention. We don't think a whole lot about it when the offering plate is passed. We sometimes have too many things on our mind. We're thinking about why we're giving. Maybe, did I turn that roast on the right temperature? Is it going to be done when I get there? Is it going to burn? I wonder, are they going to beat me to the restaurant? Am I going to have to wait in line? We're thinking about who's playing this afternoon on television. A guy got a little upset with me, and he wrote me a couple emails, not recently, but in times gone by. He got upset because I would make, and I do it regularly, and I didn't apologize then, and I don't apologize now, and I won't apologize in the future for it, to tell folks that giving is a part of worship. Singing is, praying is, preaching is, giving is a part of worship. And friend, when that offering plate comes around and you are giving, and let me just say this, I want to talk about this widow woman. If you come and you don't have it to give, do you know you could be given? Now listen carefully to what I'm about to say. You could be given if you don't have it to give, but your spirit's right. You worship when it comes by anyway, because God knows what you were blessed with. God knows what you were given, and God knows your heart. But it ought to be a time of worship as we give. We probably don't pay a whole lot of attention. Remember in the book of Acts chapter 5? An offering was taken in the New Testament church, and there was a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. And the Bible says that they were asked, did you do this and that? And they lied right there in church. And the Bible said they lied and they died. Somebody said if the same thing happened in the modern day church, there wouldn't be enough EMS folks to come to the churches and get them all. Hello. Jesus Christ is there at the offering. He's interested in not so much how much you give, although he does say something about the tithe, and I'll mention that in a minute. He is interested in how that you give. The collection does talk in 1 Corinthians, and I did preach on that, and I told the early service, you'd be hard-pressed in 28 and a half years to find more than 5 sermons, and probably not that many, that I preached a whole message on giving. I challenge you to do it. I've got every one that I ever preached since I've been here. You would be hard-pressed. So if you just showed up today and you hadn't been in a while, and you say, every time I come, all he preaches about is giving, you're just giving yourself away. Hello. That collection plate talks. As it's passed by, it speaks loud and clear. So he's sitting there in the treasure. But second of all, not only the place he sat, the people he sees. Now look at 41 again, the last part. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. Jesus is watching the people, and the tense of the verb in the Greek is in the imperfect tense, which simply means he keeps on looking continually. Now, it's interesting to watch people. Jesus was a people watcher. He watched Zacchaeus climb that tree. He watched people. It's interesting. People sometimes do crazy things and funny things and strange things if you watch them. A woman, for instance, was at the airport and she was going to be flying to another destination. And she had a little time, so she bought herself a Coca-Cola and some cheese and peanut butter crackers. That's pretty good eating right there, amen. And she was going to eat them before she got on the plane. But a guy sat down beside her, kind of like it's right here. And she set her Coke down and thought she set her crackers down. And she reached over and got one and started eating it. When she did, that guy reached over and got one of those crackers. And he started eating it. Well, she's a little miffed. She saw his hand. He reached over there and got another one. She ate about 2. He ate just about the whole pack. She got on the plane. I mean, she was ticked off at this guy. She got on the plane and reached in her purse to get something else out. And there was her whole pack of crackers in there. She had been eating that man's crackers instead of him eating hers. People are funny to watch. Jesus loved people. He still loves people. All kinds of people. Somebody said the common, ordinary, everyday, garden variety kind of folks. Jesus loves. And people are important to Christ. They're why He came. You and I are why He died. And the Bible said He beheld. And that word beheld means more than a casual glance. He looked with perception and interest. He was then and He is now interested in you and how you handle what He blesses you with. Now He sees 2 groups of people. Number 1, He sees the wealthy. Verse 41, and He saw the rich and they cast in much. There's some pretty wealthy people came to church that day. And when they did, they were given a great deal. Now listen to you, pastor. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. Some of the greatest saints in the Old Testament were some of the wealthiest people that ever lived. Some of those in the New Testament were the same. The Bible, and I challenge you to give me one verse. I challenge you to give me one verse. The Bible nowhere condemns wealth. Now, I'm going to sidetrack for a minute. I'll make a point. We seem to be living in a day where somebody works hard and does good for themselves. They're considered almost a dirty dog in the day in which we live. I think folks ought to work hard. Then I heard these other folks. I heard one of them interviewed this week. He said, I think everybody just ought to give me everything. And somebody said, well, why do you think they ought to do that? He said, because I want it. You know what that sounds like? A little bitty baby. Amen. Exactly what it sounds like. And you say, preacher, you ought not be talking about it. Well, I am. Amen? Amen. Bible doesn't condemn well. Hey, if somebody works hard and does good, hey, why in the world should you and I be against them? If they do it the right way. Amen? Honestly, and do it the right way. The key matter of wealth is this. What it does to you and what you do with it. Somebody said money is a good servant, but not a good master. I've seen his pastor over these 29 years here and 5 years down at Wahoo. I've seen folks who all of a sudden maybe they begin to get wealth. And before long, Brother Walt, they begin to buy things and do things. And nothing wrong with things as long as things don't have you. But those things begin to take them away from the house of God. Hello. I forgot this in the first service. I hope they're listening to this. Amen. It's nothing wrong with having those things, but if by getting more things, that keeps you away from the house of God more, I want to tell you, friend, you better be careful. I've seen a lot of folks get more and more, and then they had less time for God. The key thing is not how much money you have, but what your money does to you. Dwight L. Moody, a great man of God. Dwight L. Moody had some wealthy folks give to his ministry. And he reached tens and hundreds of thousands. Billy Graham had some individuals who were wealthy who gave to his ministry. And who knows, he preached to more people than any other man has ever preached before or since. Many gave. There's a man that gave to one Christian institution between $70 and $100 million. And the gospel still being preached from that institution, still being taught from that institution. And every once in a while, God will bless somebody because He knows He can trust somebody. They put it back into the ministry and untold multitudes hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus. There's some in our congregation. I don't know who you are, but you know who you are. You've been blessed. I will tell you, as pastor for the 28 and a half years I've been here, we've had some folks who have been very, very faithful in their giving. And somebody sitting here today, yeah, pastor, it's because of my keen mind and my hard work. Well, I want to tell you, that's got a little bit to do with it. My Bible says, it's the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth. He watched them give, and some of them gave a lot. And by the way, tithing in the Bible is on equal basis. And that's why it's so wonderful. That's why it's God's plan. And when folks give on an equal basis, God takes it. In fact, I'm going to show you in a minute. They gave a lot. And this woman, to a lot of people, just gave a little. But God recognized her little in a marvelous way. Look at verse 42. A certain poor widow threw in two mites, which make a farthing. She was in abject poverty. She might not have known where her next meal was going to come from. In her hands were two little coins. They were called mites. They're worth about a quarter of a cent. Together, those two mites were worth a half of a penny. She goes by that shofar box. She drops it in. You can hear those coins dangling in that box. Just a poor widow with very little. Doesn't seem too important to those that were there. May not seem too important to you and me, but it was important to her and it was important to God. Don't you ever minimize the smallness of the gift. When that little boy brought his lunch to Jesus, Andrew, one disciple said this, but what is that among so many people? Hey folks, when you give that little to God, God can take it and transform it into a whole lot. Woman put her dollar in the offering plate one day. One of the ushers knew her circumstances. And he looked down at the dollar that she gave and he reached down in there and he said, ma'am, I'm going to give you your dollar back. I'll put your dollar in for you today. And when he did, she started weeping. She looked at the usher and she said, you don't want to take my blessing away from me, do you? God's good to me. My children are fine. God's meeting my needs. God's good to me. Don't take away my blessing when I get to give to the Lord. Don't take my blessing away. It was important to her. It was important to Jesus. No gift is too much or too insignificant to be important to Jesus. I wish I'd have brought it and I put it in my notes last night and I forgot this morning. I wish I'd have pulled it out of my desk before we ever started this building, before we ever paid for the land. One of the little girls in this church, Brother Alvin, I talked about this one time before. One of the little girls in this church brought me a $5 bill. I still got that $5 bill in my desk and said, "Preacher, I want to give my part. I want to use this as seed so we can do those things that our church needs to do." And I want to tell you, millions of dollars later, that little girl with $5 had a great part in what's been done right here in this church. Little as much when God is in it. The word "how" touches on the motivation. Jesus is not just interested in the amount, but the motive. Why do you do what you do for Jesus? It's not to be a showy thing. That little widow didn't go up there and clang the cymbals and say, "Here I am, I'm a poor widow, and I'm still getting..." No, she didn't do that. She didn't care whether they knew it or not. She loved Jesus and wanted to give that to Jesus. Some want to do it for show. Hey, I want to tell you, that's not how you ought to give. The place he set, the people he sees, and last of all, the proclamation he makes. Look at verse 43. And so he called his disciples and said, "Come over here. Verily I say to you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance." They still got a bunch left. "But she of her lack, her want, did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Jesus sees this poor widow. Probably nobody else noticed her. Maybe the money counters are counting the money that day. And as they're counting the money, they see these two mites. A half of a penny? Why, who would bother to give that? But Jesus saw it. Jesus said she's given more than they all. Somebody said, and maybe some of you mathematicians can check it out, that had that lady took that money and deposited it into the first bank of Jerusalem, 4% interest compounded annually, that today it would be worth billions and billions of dollars. You say, "Preacher, but oh, that's if she put it in the bank." Hey, she did put it in the bank. She put it in the heavenly bank. And down through the years, God's compounded that interest over and over again. And folks are still hearing about a widow woman who gave her two mites to God. You never know what God's going to do when you give a gift to God and He multiplies it with heavenly mathematics. We put it on an earthly scale, but God puts things on a heavenly scale. And I want to tell you, you and I are going to be weighed by the heavenly scales of God. I wonder your gift. And when I say gift, I'm not just talking about monetary. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about talent. I wonder when it's weighed on the scales in glory, how much does it weigh? You never know what's going to happen. Thursday afternoon about 5... Between 5 and 5:15, Janet called me and said, "Preacher, could you come up here to the church?" And I told the first crowd, I really didn't want to come. I was getting ready to go preach at Home with a Heart. I've been with our senior adults all week, and I'd driven back that day and was getting ready to go preach, and I really didn't want to come. You say, "Preacher, you shouldn't be that way." Well, if I came every time I was called, all I'd do would be coming and going. I'd never do anything, but they call, and I came. And most of the time, it's somebody that's passing through or they're wanting something. And so I came by and here's a guy and he's in an older SUV and he's got a trailer hooked behind it. And when I drove up, he began to get out of the car and his wife and kids began to pour out of the car. Now, I still didn't recognize this guy. He said, "You remember me?" And I said, "I got to be honest, I don't." He said, "Well, I want to tell you, down at First Baptist Church of Wahoo, Over 30 years ago, you led me to Jesus and you baptized me. Got away from God for a while, but God's got a hold of me, and everything me and my wife own is in that trailer. And we're heading to Ecuador in September. And we're going to be missionaries there for as long as God wants us to stay. You don't ever know what God's doing. It's another story I can't tell you because if it gets on the internet, I can't tell you. But anyway, you never know what God's going to do. Made you curious, didn't it? Hey, you never know what God's going to do when you give that little gift. 2 mites, half of a penny, who cares? God cares. Number one, she gave liberally. Imagine her going to heaven. Can't you imagine the scene? Here's this poor widow woman. I mean, she's dressed in poor widow apparel, lives in a shack. One day, she draws her last breath, and she gets there to the portals of glory. And Jesus says to his escort angels, go over there and get that poor widow woman. I've got a place designed just for her. And they walk down Hallelujah Boulevard. And there she's got a mansion. And for the rest of eternity, that poor widow woman is going to live in royalty with Jesus because that she gave. Now the Bible says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. She gave sacrificially. They gave out of their plenty. She gave out of her poverty. She barely had necessities of life. Somebody says, well, preacher, I'll just give a widow's mite. And normally when they say that, they're saying, I'll just give a little bit. They don't give sacrificially. A church was raising money to build a building. And they were struggling. I want to tell you, I've talked with pastors. I get letters in the mail all the time of churches saying we're struggling, we need this and we need that. I just want to tell you, God's been good to us here at Rock Springs. And I want to tell you, I know the history even before then, but for the last 28 and a half years, we've been in a building program for 27 of those years. And I got news for you, it ain't over yet. So just stay there. I mean, we've been in a building program, been raising money. And most Baptist preachers, I'm telling you, even the other denominations as well, I mean, somewhere along the way, and sometimes that gets kind of wary. Sometimes that gets kind of discouraging because people look at you in the wrong way. Now, I have never, and if anybody says that, they're telling a bold-faced lie. I have never beat folks over the head to give. We've never, week after week. No, we just throw it out there. But you know what God's done at Rock Springs? Inevitably, Brother Alvin, inevitably, man, God just keeps meeting those needs. Brother Alvin and I have gone to the bank and sat down with them, and they've been awed. And when they look at our records, it has mystified them. And folks, if everybody gave, it would mystify them. I'm telling you, God's been good to this congregation. We've been blessed. Anyway, they were in a building program. They were struggling a bit. And they were having pledges and commitments. And finally, a very well-to-do man stood up and said, preacher, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just give my widow's mite. And the preacher said, praise God. Hallelujah. Beloved, the buildings are going to be built. Our brother just committed everything he has to the building program. Because that's what she did. She gave it all. I look back, and Brother Alvin, I still got that picture on my wall in there with you and I and Rick and Brother Billy Jennings, when we paid off one of those notes. Never have kept one very long, and I thank God for that. I know some keep them long. I want to get rid of them. I wish we didn't have to have them. But when we get them, I don't want to keep them long. Amen. I'd rather use the money some other place. I'd rather send a youth on a youth trip. I'd rather help somebody out. I'd rather do something else than pay that interest. Now, bankers, don't get mad, but I'd rather do something else than to pay all that money. I want to get rid of it as fast as we can. And all God's people said, amen. And you've done a great job of doing that sacrificially and liberally. Then her gift was total. She gave it all. Let me tell you about the coin, and I'm through. On one side of that coin, they say, was a sun, S-U-N, with 8 rays peeking out of that, which speaks of the Son of Righteousness who rises with healing in His wings. And what that says, that little widow woman said, I'm resting my all on the character of God. On the other side of that coin was an anchor. that speaks of putting our confidence in the steadfastness of the promises of God. She knew she could trust God. And could I tell you today, not just by preaching, but by personal experience, you can trust God. Now the question is, can God trust you? Oh. Here's what the Bible says. Now listen, put all the monetary stuff out of your mind for a minute. Here's what the Bible says. Book of Acts. They first gave themselves to the Lord. Giving money don't take you to heaven. Working hard don't take you to heaven. Getting saved takes you to heaven. They first gave themselves to the Lord. And by the way, Jesus gave liberally. Jesus gave sacrificially. Jesus gave totally when He gave His life and died on that tree. We sing that song. And then the choir comes back with that wonderful ending. Love so amazing. Love so divine. Demands my life. My soul, my all. Question number one. Have you ever given your heart and life to Jesus Christ? If you haven't, then God brought you here today to hear about a widow woman. Even though it talks about her giving, preceding that, she had given her all to Christ. And today, if you want to be saved, you can't say, Lord, you can have 50% or 3/4. God, I'm going to keep back this part of my life or that part of my life. You've got to be willing to come and say, Lord, I surrender all. You want to be saved today? You can be saved. Have you surrendered it all? Some of you have been saved, never been baptized. You need to come be a part of this fellowship. And if some of you today have been saved, you've not surrendered your all. Oh, I want to tell you, in the church, there are a lot of people who've not given their all to Christ. Their teachers here, Brother Wall. Their group leaders here, Brother Wall. Their singers here, Brother Wall. They're people working their well. They're folks of all kinds of talent sitting right here. But they've never given their all to Jesus. Friend, I tell you what, you want to go out in the blaze like this little widow did? Then whatever God's gifted you with, you ought to surrender all of that gift to Jesus. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? No one's looking around. The choir's going to sing in a moment. Going to give a gospel invitation. You're in this building, never been saved. I beg you today, hear the story of the widow woman. She gave it all. If you want to get saved, you've got to be willing to come and say, Lord, I'm not holding back. I give my all to You. I want You to save me, Lord Jesus. Today, you heard the trio saying there is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. You may think there's no hope for you, no help for you, but there's a remedy, and His name is Jesus. You've been saved, never followed through. Won't you walk down the aisle today and say, Pastor, I need to be baptized. Pastor, God's leading me or us to this church. We want to be a part of it. Maybe today God's dealing with your heart. You need to come and surrender your all to Jesus today.